morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. So when I get up here, I can, you know, I end up standing up here a lot of times for an hour. You know, I promise this will be shorter today, okay? But there's a good message. We have a good message today. And I hope it'll be a good message for you. It was a needed message for me because I find myself really busy on the Sabbath, you know, just, you know, leading up to the Sabbath. I keep the Sabbath, but it's, I have trouble turning loose the week, what happens today. And before we do our prayer, I just want to mention, I just want to talk about it's a story or a parable. It's an old story. But there's this European explorer. And this was a common thing in the 1850s or 1800s, where you would have a explorer that would go to Africa, and they would hire these tribesmen to carry their equipment and lead them into the jungle and just to basically explore. And well, this European explorer, he got in this tribe of people to get his stuff together, and he's going into the jungle, and they're carrying all of his stuff. And he's driving them pretty hard, you know. He's basically, you know, pushing them, you know, morning all day long, pushing them, and then they finally get to the after 6 days.
All right. So he's pushing them for 6 days, and then on the seventh day he gets up and he goes out to get these tribesmen together to get his equipment to push, you know, further into the jungle. And he blows his whistle, and nobody's moving, you know, nobody's doing anything. And, you know, he's like, well, what's the problem here? You know, so he goes and he finds a chief, and he asks him, what's going on here? What's going on? And this tribal chief, he says, our bodies have traveled too fast. Today we must sit still and wait for our souls to catch up with us. And so we see this rest that's needed. These gentlemen needed this rest. And, we need that rest. We need to take that break after 6 days of work. And today, the title of the sermon is the Sabbath as a gift and the art of letting go. And so we're going to talk about the Sabbath being a gift and the art of letting go a little bit today. But before we start, let's just go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day today. Thank you for giving us your Sabbath. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to just take a break, this gift that you've given us, to just take all the work and all the stress, and as we run so hard throughout our life, and Lord, we just thank you that you give us this day, so that we can just be still for a little bit and let our souls catch up with the rest of us. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with us this message today. I pray that you'll give us information that we can take and share. And Lord, we, as a church, as a Seventh-day Adventist church, the Sabbath is something we hold dearly, Lord, that many other churches don't have. And many times people are curious, Lord, about what we're doing, what we teach. And Lord, we pray that this will give us information, give us knowledge, that will share what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath with other people. Lord, please be with the service today. Please be with me. Please let my words be your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's see if I can make this thing move a little bit. Not really. There we go. All right. So, you know, as we walked in here today, we all had a week, right? We all did stuff during the week. We didn't all do the same thing all week. But as we walked in the sanctuary today, we may have felt very much like those porters did, you know, in the story I just told. We're just running hard all week. And, I maybe some of us are just sit at home and we're bored and we don't have a hard week. I don't know. That's not my life. There's always something going on. Even if I don't want something to be going on, there's always deadlines. There's family pressures. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but every time it seems like everything's going right in the family, something happens and then it's not going right. There's financial worries. It doesn't matter how much money you really make, if you make a lot of money or not a lot of money. for some reason it goes away, and there's always some, somebody told me once, it doesn't matter if you win $1 million in the lottery, you know, you're going to wish you'd won $2 million in the lottery. You know, it's just, it's always more to be gotten, but that's not what our world's supposed to be about. We're not supposed to be worrying about our money, worrying about families. God doesn't want us to worry. And, work pressures, family pressures, financial pressures, there's always something going on. And it seems like that by Friday evening, we know the Sabbath is coming, right? It comes every week. You know, and Friday evening, you know, we know when the sun goes down, that begins the Sabbath. And I don't know how many times I've been outside in my yard with the lawnmower or, you know, doing stuff, and I see the sun going down. It's like, man, I need to mow a little faster because the sun's going to go down. You know, I need to get this stuff in the shed before sunset. And so, you know, I'm just running that race right up to the very end. And that's not really how this is supposed to work. You know, this is, it's life. It seems like that's how life is. I'm going to try something here, see if I can get this thing to move a little bit. All right. So the Sabbath is supposed to be a gift. That's what it was designed to be. It was designed to be a gift. And and it's in Scripture. You know, it was made for you and me. And Mark 20. Get back to that. Technology is not my friend today. All right. So Mark 2:27-28. This is our scripture reading for today. And it says, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." And we've heard this before. But there's some confused people in the world, and I'm not saying they're not confused for a reason. I was not always a Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up in a Baptist church. 40 years I was in a Baptist church, so a lot of my background is what I got taught. Part of what I got taught is you hear people say that Saturday's a Jewish Sabbath. How many of you have heard that? Oh, that's a Jewish Sabbath. Well, it's a Bible Sabbath. You know, when we go back and we look at what Jesus said, when he says that the Sabbath was made for man, this word man means mankind. And that's what it is. And so, but you'll hear people talk, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this here in just a second. But it wasn't made just for the Jews. It was made for mankind. And I'll show how we know this for sure in just a minute. But how many of you heard that, Jesus is our Sabbath? There's no longer a Sabbath. Jesus is a Sabbath. Well, is there anywhere in the Bible that says Jesus turned himself into a day of the week? No, it's not in there. Yeah, but this is a teaching. People get these teachings from different churches that Jesus is a Sabbath. Well, Jesus is our spiritual rest that we get in the Sabbath, but he didn't replace the day. The Sabbath is still there. It was a gift that was given to us. And how many of you heard that that somebody says, "Well, I don't just keep the Sabbath on Sunday; I keep the Sabbath every day." Yeah. How many of you heard that before? Yeah, I've heard that before too. Well, that sounds nice, you know, but you really, it kind of goes against what Scripture says, you know, because Scripture says that you're supposed to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. If you're keeping the Sabbath 7 days a week, well, I could argue that you're probably the laziest person on earth, because you're resting every day of the week when you're supposed to be out working, right? So that's not really what it is. Now, I don't want to get confused, and it's probably what they actually mean, is they worship God every day, and we should worship God every day. 7 days a week, we should be worshiping God. And this is where people get confused, as they start mixing the Sabbath with worship. You know, the Sabbath is a gift that's been given to us. It's a gift of rest, a time to unwind. It's a sanctuary for our soul that's been given to us. And it was given to us at the very beginning. But worship is what we do every day of the week. But, you know, I can argue that we should be worshiping every day, but we can't keep every day as a Sabbath. That's not what it was designed. And the other thing that we'll find sometimes in confusion, how many of you heard is the Sabbath was a a ceremonial law, and it was a shadow, and it's been done away with. You ever hear about that? You know, where that comes from, where people get this from, is they get it from Colossians 2, 14 through 17. And Paul talks about there that you shouldn't be judged in food and drink and holy days. And he gets around and says the word Sabbaths. And this is where there's a misunderstanding, because there's two types of laws in the Bible. You have the Ten Commandments, which is God's moral law. These are eternal laws. These never change. They've always been there, and they're always going to be there. But because of transgressions of the law, there is a set of laws that was added to it. And these are laws are written in what was called the Handbook of the Law, or the Handwritten Book of the Law of Moses. So you have the Law of Moses, and this Book of the Law contains four things. It contains moral laws, it contains a rewriting of the Ten Commandments, and it also attaches punishments to that for violating these laws. And then there's ceremonial laws that have been added into, and this is where we find our feast days and our holy days, and we have offerings, and things were added in. These were ceremonial laws that foreshadowed Jesus. These were added to the law until the seed came, which the Galatians says the seed comes, which the seed was Jesus. So they were there until Jesus came. And then what we find in there is we also find civil laws in this book of the law, which taught Israel how to be a separate nation, how to rule their nation, some laws specifically for Israel, which are also good laws. A lot of our laws in the United States are based on still some of these civil laws that was given in the Bible. And then lastly, you're going to find was whether basically health laws or sanitation laws. They talk about what to do with mold and what foods we can eat, clean foods and unclean foods, and what to do with skin disease, you know, things like that. So those are the four things that are in this other book of the law. But that second part there, those ceremonial laws that foreshadow Jesus, those were nailed to the cross. We can see that. And this book of the law was stored next to the ark. It wasn't inside the ark. The Ten Commandments were kept inside the ark. The tablets that had the Ten Commandments was put in the Ark of the Covenant. This book of the law stayed next to the ark. And we can find this in Deuteronomy 31, 24 through 26, talks about this book of the law. We get back to Colossians, and it talks about the handwritings that were against us that were nailed to the cross. This was the ceremonial laws that Jesus fulfilled. That was done away with. But the Sabbath day that was eventually replaced by the church with Sunday, with the universal church very early on in the 4th century or so, was not a ceremonial law. It was a law by God. And this replacement of that day, replacing it with Sunday, is not dictated in the Bible anywhere at all. This is something that was changed by man. And this is something that, as a Seventh-day Adventist church, we keep this biblical Sabbath. And sadly, we stand unique in this compared to most churches today that are not keeping a biblical Sabbath. And so, getting back to this is where this confusion comes in. And it also, because of this change, it has kind of washed down this gift a little bit. And I can speak from experience from this. I remember going to church on Sunday thinking this was a Sabbath day, because that's what I was taught. It's a Sabbath. And so I would go to church, and I'd sit there, and I'd sing some songs, and I'd listen to the preacher, and the whole time I'm looking at my watch going, is this guy going to stop talking so I can go home? I got things that I need to do. And that was my Sabbath. That was my understanding of the Sabbath. It was not until I came here that I understood that what I'd been taught was wrong. So what I want to do is I want to go back to the beginning, see where the Sabbath came from, so we can see this gift. And we see the Sabbath first show up in Genesis 2, 2, and 3. In Genesis 2, 2, and 3, it says, on the seventh day, this is the seventh day of creation, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. So what do you think? Did God rest on the Sabbath day because he was tired? No, he wasn't tired. He's God. He's not going to get tired doing that. But what he's doing, he's giving this rest. He's setting up a rhythm for us. Now, you remember before we talked, when we were talking about Matthew, in Matthew 2, 27 and 28, where Jesus said, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We can see here when the Sabbath was made, it was on the seventh day. Who are the men that were on the earth on the seventh day? It was Adam and Eve, right? That's the only people that were there. So it was made for basically Adam and Eve. Were Adam and Eve Jews? No, Jews come from the tribe of Judah. It was way down the road, thousands of years down the road before you have Jews showing up. It was made for mankind. It was made for his people is who it was made for. And so God could have made a church, right? He could have sat there and he could have out of some wood and brick and stones, he could have built a temple and said, hey, Adam and Eve, we go in here in this temple every week and you're going to worship inside of there. But that's not what he did. He set up a period of time. He set up time. The time is a Sabbath. It's not the church. And so, and this is a wonderful gift because if you look at it, the Sabbath is a sanctuary for the soul, and the sanctuary is everywhere. No, it doesn't matter where you are. You can be rich, you can be poor, you could be in the church, or you could be in your room at the house. But when that sun goes down on that Friday evening, you're now in his sanctuary. You're in God's sanctuary of rest. And so this is a wonderful gift. This is not something we have to carry around with us. This is not some rule that we have to do. It's different. Now, and so we know this happened on the seventh day, right? The seventh day is when God rested, he sanctified, he blessed the seventh day. And before that, he created the moon and the stars and the sun. And this sun, moon, and stars were there so that, you could track time with this. And when you look at the sun, moon, and stars, they go in cycles. The earth travels, we have a 24-hour day. The moon goes through basically a monthly cycle. But there's nothing in the star, sun, and moon that indicates a seven-day week. There's nothing. The only way we get a seven-day week is from this week of creation. And so these first 7 days becomes a cycle, of working 6 days. God worked 6 days, and then he rested the seventh day. We rest the seventh day. And so a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, the Sabbath wasn't given until Mount Sinai. It was the Jewish Sabbath because Moses gave it at Mount Sinai with the Jews that were there present. Well, we just read in Genesis that he created it on the seventh day. So that's obviously not true. It was already there in existence on the seventh day. But they'll argue, well, they didn't keep it. Adam and Eve didn't keep that. There was no keeping of the Sabbath. Nobody kept the Sabbath until Sinai. Well, that's not really necessarily true either. And I will admit that you don't see a lot of things written in the Old Testament specifically talking about keeping the Sabbath day. But you'll also find that there's not a lot of writing in it in the New Testament either about keeping the seventh day, because it was something they did all the time. Why would you write about something that was common knowledge and something you do every week? It's not something to write down because you were doing it. But we can see some instances that gives us a good indication what was going on. And one of these indications is in Genesis 8, 9, and 10. And this is Noah on the ark. All right, this is he had the 40 days of rain on the earth. The earth was flooded, and they're floating around on the ark. And Moses is trying to figure out if there's dry land. And so he sent out a raven. But then we get to Genesis 8, 9, and 10 after he sends out the raven. And we see he sent out a dove, and it says here, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark himself, and he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. And so I'm bringing this up, why 7 days?
If there's no moon, sun, and stars that would be keeping a track of 7 days, why would it say that in another 7 days he sent out? Why would he even be worried about 7 days if there wasn't a Sabbath and he wasn't keeping it? And so we can see that it doesn't specifically say necessarily that he was keeping a Sabbath on the seventh day, but you can see he's tracking a 7 day cycle because he knows how many days it was before he's doing it again. So we see that there. Genesis 26, 4 and 5. This is God talking to Abraham. And in Genesis 26, 4 and 5,
God says, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Did God have commandments and laws before the Sinai? Abraham was there walking around 400 years before Moses. And it says right here he was keeping his commandments, his charge and statutes. What's also interesting is when we get to Deuteronomy, we see the writing of Moses here. And he's talking about after Sinai. He says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always." You see the link to what was happening 400 years before? It's still the same thing. He's talking about the same thing. So these laws are there. Think the Sabbath law was there? Yeah, they was keeping all the laws. You know, all the Ten Commandments were there. That's a, you know, and the sacrifices were also being conducted there, probably, you know, with God. And then we get to Exodus 5, 4 and 5. And this is when the Israelites were in Egypt. This is still before the Sabbath, right? So I'm still talking about the Sabbath before Mount Sinai. And Exodus 5, 4 and 5 says, "Then the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor.' And Moses said, 'Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor.'" And so we see a rest here, and this actual word in the Hebrew for rest is Shabbat. And it's not a coincidence that it says Shabbat. This is a root word for Sabbath. This is the same root word that's used in Genesis 2, 2 and 3. When he's talking about he's creating the Sabbath day on the seventh day, and this becomes a shadow, and so what this is showing is one, in Egypt at the time this was a no Sabbath zone, right? The Pharaoh of Egypt, he didn't want him resting, you know, because what this does is this ceasing of work is threatening his system, and he's not able to exploit people. Their production's going down on this day, but. With this word, using this word Shabbat there, it's an anticipation of the law. All right, so it's we see them keeping the Sabbath day. It's basically a foreshadowing of them keeping the Sabbath day, but the Sabbath is not actually given until Exodus 16. This is where we see them talking about the Sabbath, and in Exodus 20, when they get to Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments, it's definitely one of the commandments there. But the vocabulary choice here, it's intentionally foreshadows Israel's deliverance from slavery, and it's fundamentally tied to God's rhythm of rest. And we know that in the Bible, we see in the Old Testament two places that the Ten Commandments are spoken of, right? In Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments, and then in Deuteronomy 5, we find it again. But if you look at the Sabbath commandment, in Exodus and the Sabbath commandment in Deuteronomy, they're a little bit different. They don't say exactly the same thing. And people will say, "Oh, well, look, you know, God linked the fourth commandment, linked the Sabbath to his day of rest in Exodus 20, but he didn't link it the second time in Deuteronomy 5, so therefore it doesn't count." Well, it does count, and here's why where this link comes from, because we see here this word Shabbat used for Israel while they were in slavery, and it's talking and it's using this in anticipation and shadowing this delivery from slavery and tying it to the rhythm. And so when we see it again in Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that you your male servant and female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath holy." So you can see where this whole thing about the slavery comes in on the second reading of this. It doesn't negate the fact that we're keeping the Sabbath because God created it. You know, in 6 days he created the heaven and the earth and everything that was in it. It's just adding, it's just explaining about them coming out of Egypt as well in the slavery. This is where this word Shabbat comes in. This is the link to it. It's not a, it was not a doing away of the Sabbath. All right, so a little bit more about the Sabbath before Sinai. And in Exodus 16, 4 and 5, and it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." All right, so here we see again the Sabbath day showing up. You know, we see God, what he's doing. He's providing for them for 6 days, and on the sixth day, he's going to bring twice as much manna down so they can gather twice as much, and he's telling them so they can prepare what they bring in. And this is where we get our preparation day. Here people talk about, well, Friday's a preparation day. Well, this is where we find our roots of the preparation day, is in this, here in the wilderness, so they can prepare that day. And why would they be preparing that day? Yes, because the next day's the Sabbath, right? You get everything ready so you can actually rest on the Sabbath. So this is where we see that. And so this sounds like a fairly simple command, right? He's telling them, hey, look, I'm going to send manna down, so you have bread from heaven coming down. Everybody go out and pick it up, and on the sixth day, you know, you're going to pick up twice as much. And also, if we were to read on in there, it's going to talk about how they were told to eat all the manna that day, not to store it overnight. But these people are, you know, fresh out of slavery. I think we all know the story, right? They went out and they picked up the manna. And some of them did keep it overnight. What happened to the manna that they kept overnight? Yeah, it rotted, right? It got rotten. There's worms in it and things. They did basically what they were told not to do. And it's easy for us to look at this now and be like, well, God gave them a simple rule. Why would they do that? You know, why would they just go out and keep? Why did they keep it overnight after he said not to do that? But we also have to remember who they were. They were fresh out of slavery, right? They've been in slavery all these years, for hundreds of years. And now all of a sudden, they're entirely dependent on God, right? They're not in Egypt anymore. They have to count on God. They're out in the middle of the desert. You know, I was in the military for a long time. Your chances of surviving in the desert by yourself for any length of time is not all that great. But if you have a whole bunch of other people that have to be fed and taken care of while you're out there, then you got a real problem if you're trying to try and make that work out. You have to have food, and you have to have water, and you have to have logistics. You have to have things that are going on. But these people were completely dependent on God. And so they were probably anxious, you know, kind of like how we get anxious now sometimes too, right, about our home life, our finances and things. They were anxious about something else, but they were getting anxious. And when the manna fell daily, they grabbed their baskets, you know, and they would go out because the manna would melt in the afternoon. When it got warm outside, it would melt. So they had to go out in the morning, and they had to gather what they had. And so they were probably pretty quick about it. You know, God has given it to them, but there was a catch. You know, they had to get it, and they, you know, in the morning, and they couldn't keep it overnight. And so, and on Friday, they were supposed to gather twice as much because the next day was the Sabbath, and no manna would fall on the ground. And so, again, when you look at the people there at the time, they, you know, after 40 years, of course, they got used to this, right? They knew it was going to fall down for 6 days, and it was going to be okay. But at the beginning, they didn't know. You know, they were worried about it. And if you imagine being an Israelite at that time, and you're out there and you got your basket and you know your survival was based on this manna that's falling from heaven, and you're going to grab that basket and you're going to be hustling around out there putting back, you know, the food you need into this basket, making sure that it's around. But the seventh day would have been a concern for them. This was a matter of trust. As they already saw, if they kept the manna overnight, it was going to rot and it was going to have worms in it. So they got twice as much on Friday, but now what's going to happen if they keep it overnight? Isn't it going to rot and get worms in it again? No, it didn't. You know, but this was where they had to trust God. And so our instincts are, or their instincts were, and our instincts would be the same, is the what if. You know, what if God forgot to bring manna today? What if there's going to be a shortage? You know, what if there's not going to be enough? You know, well, and the Bible says there was nothing to be found on the seventh day. And they were told that there wouldn't go be anything on the seventh day. And they were told to basically stay in their tents on the seventh day. But what did they do? At least some of them went out looking for manna on the seventh day, right? Even though they were told not to. And so God was talking to Moses, and he says, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And so the people rested on the seventh day. They learned this, to rest on the seventh day. And so we see this principle in the Old Testament. We see it before Sinai, of this going out and gathering and working on 6 days and then resting on the seventh day. And it's a matter of trust, right? And so today, it's a little different for us, all right? If we look at, we don't go out and collect manna for 6 days during the week. We don't go out in our front yard and go, well, let me go take my basket out and pick up some bread today. But we have a way, we have a different way of life. Today, our manna isn't the physical bread that's coming from heaven. Today, our life is going to work. It's checking our emails just in case there's something going on. You know, it's letting our mind and spirit go through our financial anxieties and our family problems and trying to solve them on our own steam. It's basically taking our eyes off God. By doing this, are we doing the same thing the Israelites were doing on the Sabbath by going out and looking for manna? Yeah, we're doing the same thing, right? And it goes back to that trust issue. You know, when God told the Israelites to stay in their tents, he was offering them a boundary of grace. He offers us a boundary of grace. He's giving us a sanctuary time, this mobile sanctuary that goes with us no matter where we're at. When that sun goes down on Friday, we enter that sanctuary. And it's ours to trust. It's ours to trust that everything's going to be okay. God's got us. You know, he's going to take care of us. But it's hard not to for us sometimes, because and what it boils down to is basically a lack of faith, right? Because we should know that God took care of those people, his people then. He's going to take care of us today. And we worry. And so here's three things. I'll put this up here so we can take a look at this real quick about what the Bible says about worrying. Does the Bible say we should worry about things? No, it says just the opposite, right? God anticipates our needs. He knows what we need before we ask for it. He knows what we need, food and water and certain things. And he knows that in our lives, in our individual lives, there are certain things we need. He knows about before we ask. We're still supposed to ask. We're supposed to still pray. But he knows. He's not forgotten us. You know, he didn't forget to put the man on the ground on the Sabbath for the Israelites. He's not forgetting to take care of us on the Sabbath when we disengage and take that time for him. His track record is perfect. In those 40 years in the desert, that food came down. That manna came down for 6 days and enough on the Friday for them to get twice as much for the Sabbath so that they had enough on that day. And so his track record's perfect with us too. Is there anybody in here who's died yet? Who didn't make it past the Sabbath because you know? Yeah, now we're all here, right? No matter how bad things got in our life, no matter what happened, we still made it, right? And we made it by the grace of God sometimes, but we still made it. We're still here. Everything's okay. But we can turn that loose. Our worry changes nothing, and trust changes everything. So again, we try not to worry about these things. This is what Jesus had to say about worry. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And so we're commanded not to worry. And it's hard not to. Don't get me wrong. I came in here today worrying about my job. You know, I got things going on in my workplace that's not good for me at all. And I'm sitting there thinking about it. That's not good. That's not what God's commanded me to do. God's commanded me to disengage, focus on him, let my worries go, and take that rest. It's a gift. It's a present that he's given us to make our life better. It's not supposed to be a burden. It's supposed to be a gift. All right, so let's take a look at this gift a little bit more, and the power of God's of the finished work of God here. This monument, this Sabbath is a monument of power and grace. In Genesis 2, 2, and 3, when God created the Sabbath for us, in 7 days he did all of his work, created the heaven, the earth, and everything in it. And on the seventh day he rested. So he finished his work of creation and he rested. At Calvary, Jesus finished his work of redemption and he rested. In Hebrews 4, 9, and 10, the Bible says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." And so the Sabbath, what it is it's an ultimate reminder that we don't earn our salvation. We cannot work to earn our salvation. We don't work to earn it. And the Sabbath is this gift that we've been given by God to rest in his work, in his final work. And we don't earn God's love by keeping the Sabbath. We show our love for God, and we love God by keeping the Sabbath, and he shows his love to us by giving us a Sabbath, and we're invited to rest in his completed grace. And it works. It were, if you go back, and there's been studies on this, that Seventh-day Adventists, because we keep the Sabbath, because we engage socially with other people on the Sabbath, the average Seventh-day Adventist lives about 6.5 years longer than people of other faiths, because we are keeping this day of rest. We're keeping days of downtime that other people are just not getting to let our body recover, and health-wise, it helps us make it that far. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14, this is God. When Israel was not seeming like they were getting the blessings they felt like they should be getting, they were keeping religiously certain things, this is what God told them. He said, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." And so we can see there's a blessing to be had by keeping the Sabbath. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but think about if you tithe. There's a time when I was in my previous church, I tithe with whatever I, kind of had in my pocket or whatever. I dropped some change in the plate, or if I had a few dollars, I might throw that in there. My thing was, I was keeping that money for myself. It's like, what if I give this money away and now I can't pay my bills? What if I give this money away and I need that money? I need this stuff. I wasn't trusting. That trust wasn't there. And I wasn't being blessed. Financially, I was still always strapped. It was like it didn't matter if I kept the money for myself. The blessing wasn't there. I found here, if I give my tithes lovingly, I'm blessed. When things, I have things, I have a hot water heater underneath my house that was underneath there. It was rusty when I bought my house 17 years ago. And I thought for sure that thing was going to tear up in 5 minutes after I bought the house. And that thing is still heating my shower today. There's no logical reason in the world why that thing should still be working out there. But this is it's little things like this. Things that you have last a little longer. Your life gets a little easier. Things are just completely, it's like, I don't know how this is going to work out. Something happens and it does. It's a blessing that happens because we trust. The Sabbath is also a blessing when we trust. If we just trust God and take that break, we might think, I need to check that email for work. What if this happens? Maybe I need to go do something, make a little extra money today or whatever. No, just let God bless you with the Sabbath. So we get to the Sabbath of Mount Sinai. This is when Jesus actually gave the commandments to Moses. And we see the fourth commandment there. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." We read this every week, right? "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. And in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." This is where a lot of other people, this is like, see, right there is the Sabbath commandments. But we just saw it was all the way back to the beginning. It didn't just start there. And if you look there, the very first word in verse 8 there says, "Remember the Sabbath day." You can't remember something that wasn't already there. You know, you remember something that was already given to you. And yes, probably the Israelites during their time in slavery maybe forgot about that. But when Moses showed up and made them Shabbat, made them rest, it was bringing it back. It was bringing that gift back to them. And so the gift of the Sabbath, we see at the beginning. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work, which God had created and made. Is there a certain day we're supposed to keep as a Sabbath? Yeah, the Bible's very specific. It's not, we don't get to choose what day we keep as a Sabbath. It's already been chosen for us. God gave it to us as a special day, as a seventh day. And it was a gift, you know, it was in Mark 2:27-28, we've already just read this. It says, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. And this rest, not only is it on a specific day, and it is for a specific reason. And in this, this is where we find an invitation for our true soul rest. And in Matthew 11:28-29, it says here, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so Jesus didn't replace the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a physical space that Jesus carved out for this promise, for this rest. And the Sabbath day was never meant to be a burden for us. It was not a burden of legalistic rules. It was designed as God's survival package for us, you know, for the human spirit. This is what it was designed for. And so here's a radical declaration. This is something we can take with us when we leave. And to remember, as we start seeing, as we start feeling these pressures, because guess what? Satan's going to pop up and he's going to put stuff in your head. He's going to be like, oh, you need to do this on God's Sabbath day. You need to do this right away. You need to do these things. He's going to try and take it away. But if we can do this here, we can understand, just keep this in mind, and think about this. God is running my life today. He can do more while I'm standing still than I can do by running myself ragged. You'll find that that's exactly what will happen. All right, so as we leave here today, I'm going to close out. So the thing about leaving your basket at the door. The Israelites learned on the seventh day to not take their basket out and look for manna. They just left their basket at the door. Their basket is a little different than ours, but it's the same for us. If you think about, what did you carry in here today with you when you came in? I know I carried some stuff in I didn't need to carry in. It's a little late for me not to carry it in now because I'm already in here, right? I brought it with me this week. But for next week, you know, these financial worries, these deadlines, these relationships, you need to practice the art of letting go. This is the thing. Just let it go. Friday the sun goes down, just let it go. There's going to be time next week to worry about these other things. Take the time, get the blessing from God for the gift that he's given to you. Let your souls catch up with your bodies as you rest in the sanctuary of grace on God's Sabbath day. May God bless you all. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day today. Thank you for giving us the Sabbath. Lord, we pray that you will be able to step back and see this gift for what it is. This day of rest, this wonderful privilege that you've given us to rest physically and spiritually in you, knowing that our salvation is secure. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us as we leave here today and give us that rest for the rest of our lives, that we know that you've given to us as that gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.